Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It is the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. You just heard, along with an army of Tolos, the three-time Hall of Famer Chris Arnold.
Got you down.
Alongside me, Alec Medford of the KNC Masterpiece here today. We got our guy Ruben Portillo on site engineering and Kevin Walker back in the studio off of 75 and Fitzhugh. We got the expressway coming up here in a matter of 17 minutes. We'll go commercial-free up until the top of the hour. But at noon, you know what we got to do on a Cowboys Friday. Cowboys win because Cowboys lose because. 877-881-1053. That is the Franco and Franco Injury Attorney text line. Want you to get involved there. And I want you to come out here to Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth, Left Bank, 629 Staten Street. Come hang out with us. Come take a load off. It's lunchtime. I can smell the wings. I can see the Miller Lights, the ice-cold Miller Lights. $4, by the way, getting poured here as we speak. So come have some fun with us. But Cowboys win because Cowboys lose because feels the most uninteresting that it has in a while, because we talked about in the previous segment, we got two backup quarterbacks going at it. So at least I will say, I don't think you're going to get completely obliterated by the Eagles offense now, but I'll start with Cowboys win because, I guess, and say that the Cowboys win because Kenny Pickett is just awful. I think that the Cowboys offense has found a little bit of a rhythm, and of course a big part of that is now missing, with CeeDee Lamb being shut down for the final two games of the regular season. But I feel like if the Cowboys come away with a win on the road in Philadelphia, we already know what that environment is like. It's because the Kenny Pickett that you saw at times in relief of Jalen Hurts last week, which was not comfortable and not smart. If you get that Kenny Pickett for four full quarters, if he does play, because it's still up in the air, but we're expecting him to play, I think you have a chance to win, because he was making some bad decisions with the football, and I tweeted about it. They get some hilariously bad penalties that bail them out of some situations that kind of cover up his incompetencies. So if Kenny Pickett looks like the Kenny Pickett I'm used to seeing, then you've got a chance to win, because he'll give you a few.
Exactly. And also, I think the Cowboys win because the Cowboys defense continues to play great football, and they actually create even more takeaways, including a Deron Bland pick six. I'm calling it. Deron Bland gets his first pick six of the season. You know that's what he does for a living. And at the same time, Micah Parsons is going to get a couple of sacks. They will have that man, Pickett, running for his entire life, and it's going to be flashing for his eyes. And because it's a rivalry and the Cowboys want to play spoiler, I'm quoting Micah Parsons. He said, yeah, we enjoy the sport. We're not having to worry right now about seeding and things like that. So, again, they're just going to be loose. They're just going to make plays out there defensively, which will allow the Cowboys offense, which doesn't have CeeDee Lamb, but they still have Brandon Aubrey to kick those field goals as they get close to the goal.
And Ruben threw this out there as a NFL overreaction or reality. Mm-hmm. You know, Brandon Aubrey is the MVP and your one saving grace of this season. I mean, I was joking that he scores more than your fantasy quarterback most weeks, and it's true. he's getting these double-digit efforts because he's having to go out there a lot. So, you know, if you can keep it close, you do have a superpower in your kicker, which is nice to say because you haven't said that since Dan Bailey when he was actually good.
Exactly.
You know, so,
golf boys.
Yeah, so it's been a while since you had some comfort in that, which I think people undervalue that nowadays, and you're starting to see it with, like, even a guy that was regarded and got paid as one of the best kickers in the league, Harrison Butker in Kansas City. Ever since he tweaked that hamstring, he has not looked the same whatsoever. He had to get a procedure done on it. He came back, and it still looks like his leg gives out on him on every kick. Like, especially when you're a good team, I feel like you undervalue that.
And we forget about Justin Tucker, who's the greatest kicker of all time percentage-wise. For the Ravens, I guess he's getting older. And I've always liked Justin Tucker. He went to UT, but he's very, very talented. And I don't know if people know this or not. His hero growing up was Deion Sanders, and he does something that Deion used to do back in the day when he played football. Deion used to always lay his uniform out right in front of his locker, and Justin Tucker does that to this day. And again, he's not even what he used to be. I put my money on Brandon Aubrey Butter.
And it looks like Tucker even, like, it's amazing to me the science that goes into just kicking a football.
Yeah.
Because I saw a video breakdown, I think, of their last game, not against the Texans, but before that. Somebody broke down, like, how he changed some mechanics of his kick to where the ball was going more end over end on his field goals, and it was, like, perfectly straight when he kicked it. And they were breaking down, like, he made this one little tweak with his plant leg, so now he's going end over end on every field goal, and he's making his field goals again. I'm like, the fact that a special teams coach can sit down and say you're doing this one thing wrong.
It's a science, isn't it?
It's amazing to me because I even tried that in high school. I tried being the kicker and punter.
Oh, yeah? You replaced kicker?
Yeah, and I didn't have range whatsoever, but, like, the work it takes, and it's almost like an art because you have to hit it in the perfect spot to make it go end over end. You don't want a line drive because then it can get blocked at the line. It's like, there's a lot more that goes into that, and the really good kickers like that are maniacs about that stuff. It's almost like Corey Seager with a baseball bat. Mm-hmm. Got to walk around with the phone on a tripod and record your motion, you know, and see how it looks.
So the question the Tolos want to know is, if you showed up at game day, could you take McAfee's money?
Ooh, that's a good question. Probably not. I've been out of practice for what? 5 years, so I haven't kicked a football in forever. It's been way too long, and maybe I should for fun anytime McAfee's going to be coming back to town. Just get ready for that if the chance presents itself. Let's see, from the Franco and Franco Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053. From the 817, Cowboys win because the Eagles fold at the end of the season. Cowboys lose because they didn't use the wide receivers correctly. From the 469, I think the Cowboys will just lose because they're just bad, which is simple. From the 682, Cowboys win because the defense holds Philly to 10 points or less. Interesting. Cowboys lose because the defense gives up more than 10 points. They think it's going to be very, very low scoring against Philly.
I think it will be, and we got to tell those. I mentioned about Bland with the pick six. He says, "CA, I see your Bland pick six, and I raise you a Donovan Wilson helmet to the football fumble or turnover."
I mean, he is like a human missile.
He really is, man. Mike Zimmer has figured out exactly how to use him and put him close to the ball as opposed to putting him in space out there.
And if this is a safe space, I will say I was not a fan at all of Donovan Wilson for maybe the first half of the season.
Because he wasn't doing it like he did the year before?
Yeah, it just seemed like he was turned around and out of place. And
he was learning the new system.
Exactly. And that's what I'm getting to is that it seems like after a few weeks, and especially after the bye week, we talked about mainly we gave the pass rush its flowers after the bye week, saying, like, oh, man, it feels like everybody's getting home now. with what they're doing with Micah, dropping him back, you know, getting people to overcommit to the strong side because he's over there when he's not rushing at all. It frees up somebody else. It frees up Jordan Lewis on a corner blitz. It frees up Donovan Wilson on a safety blitz when he comes down in the box. And it looks like he's becoming that dominant box safety again that we saw under Dan Quinn.
Exactly.
And it's a bit more consistent now. Outside of that, still really inconsistent with Malik Hooker. I haven't been a fan of his this year. Mm-hmm. But Donovan Wilson has definitely figured things out, and he's making plays at big moments too, which is what we were used to. We were used to that from a Dan Quinn defense. Yeah. Pretty much anybody that stepped on the field had a chance to make a play. But it felt like Donovan Wilson was that guy when you needed a turnover. Like you said, helmet to football.
Right.
He's just launching himself with no care to his own health and safety. He says, I'm going to get that football out one way or another.
That or a sack. And again, the defense, I was saying this a little bit earlier in the show, the defense had to learn how to play the Mike Zimmer style of football. And I truly believe that's what led to the slow start with the starters. I'm talking about with the guys who were not injured at that time. I really do believe that because the defense, people forget, they were shortening the field. The offense didn't have to go all the way down the field. They're getting pick sixes and scooping scores. And I mean, the defense was huge. And when Cooper Rush filled in for Dak a couple of years ago and went 4-1, it was the defense that was carrying the Cowboys, not Cooper.
I saw this from the 469. I think Bassick is texting in on his day off. Cowboys win because Jonathan Mingo proves us all wrong.
Sound like some Bassick stuff.
Yeah, and I will say that I am at least intrigued at minimum to see what happens with him in terms of his snap count going up, and maybe you see him go downfield. Maybe you see him attack
the sidelines.
If he catches
the ball, it's going to be by default because there ain't nobody else left.
And it goes into what you were saying earlier when we talked with Jerry Jones. If you missed that conversation, you can hit the rewind button 10:30 this morning. And you asked about carrying over to next season. I don't care about trying to win the football game. I care about, is he going to show me something that they can work on in training camp? Because you gave up a fourth-round pick for him when you really didn't have to. Mm-hmm. So I want to see if I can at least take something from this, you know, two-game stretch, get him down the field.
Exactly.
Get some, you know, aggressive downfield stuff, which is already a tough ask because Cooper Rush is your quarterback, and he doesn't like to do that, but if you give him time, I mean, just give it a couple shots.
Who knows? The one thing you've got to do, though, if you love to team build, and team building is a sport, if you love to look at tape of college kids who could possibly be drafted, you've got to figure out who on this team you want to have back for next year. Some of these guys are going to be free agents. You want to know who's a dog out there and who's making business decisions. Which guys are getting even better? You've got to be able to evaluate. And the reason why? You're not cutting 40 guys. You're not cutting 40. You got to have a squad, and you're going to augment that squad with more than just a draft, hopefully. You know they're going to draft, but you got to augment it with trades and free agency. But the number one thing is you got to, even though it might be hard for your heart, or maybe you don't care about who's on the team, you just want them to win, period. That's all you care about. Well, guess what? They're not going to the playoffs. So you might as well do some homework and say, guess what? I can name drop too, as opposed to name dropping college guys from North Dakota, and they might be good.
Sure.
Because that's what a lot of people do when they get caught up in the combine and the draft. Anthony Richardson won the combine. Is he a great quarterback? No. Will he be? We don't even know. But guess what? People love to name drop. Anthony Richardson, you better watch out. How about watch out for Leah Fowle? Who you got right now?
And he can sing.
How about watching what you got now and say, wait a minute, we better keep up with so-and-so. I got tape on him from the end of December and the first week in January.
Cowboys lose because I think it's pretty obvious. Saquon Barkley has himself a day because Kenny Pickett is his quarterback.
They just hand the ball to Saquon.
If he goes,
and the Cowboys are not a great run-stopping team yet.
They've gotten better, but they're still not great.
Exactly.
They're still, I wouldn't even say relatively good, but if he goes for anything more than $115, $120, then I think you're gonna put a loss in that column. I'm not looking forward to playing him. I never really have, even when he was with the Giants. I don't think he even surpassed like 90 yards against the Cowboys with
never
the Giants.
He never does a great game against Cowboys.
But I still always feared him, and I still do to this day, especially because Kellen Moore. You know, we kind of picked on him here in Dallas a little bit, and picked on him when he was in Los Angeles with the Chargers, but He's got that Eagles offense rolling. So
he does, but the thing about Kellen, I've always said this, man, I think he's a brilliant mind. I think he's a great offensive coordinator. One day, he just needs seasoning because he's situationally unaware. He was always calling the wrong play in the biggest moment. With that being said, I think the Cowboys, we're talking about Cowboys lose because, well, you know, Saquon Barkley or, you know, some their defense makes a big play. That, you follow what I'm going with this? I just think their defense might be a big play. But I really think the Cowboys might win because this one little nugget that I brought up to Mickey, the Cowboys have the second best road record in the NFL right now. They're 5-2.
It's weird.
This is such a bizarre season, which is why it's hard to just kick McCarthy out the door.
So there you have it. Some Cowboys win because Cowboys lose because right here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we are live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth. Left Bank, 629 Staten Street. Come hang out with us here.
And guess what? If you come out and hang out, Chelsea tells us we can give away some Cowboy stuff.
How about we do that during
come
this commercial
on down,
break?
Yeah,
we get that started right here. But coming up next, it is time for the Expressway. We go commercial free up until the top. We got the Combo Platter National Chocolate Candy Day. Give us a sports opinion, then your favorite chocolate candy. Plus, CA Stories Confidential. That's coming up next here on The Fan. Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we are live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth.
Yay, yay.
Left Bank, 629 Staten Street. We've got a nice little lunch crowd here watching the Armed Forces Bowl and all kinds of stuff. We've got Cowboys merchandise giveaways that we're doing during the breaks, courtesy of Miller Lite. Come out and see us. Take a load off, if you will. 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line. You can get involved in the Combo Platter. We got CA Stories Confidential coming up here in about 20 minutes or so. But the Combo Platter, you know the rules. You give us a sports opinion. And then tomorrow is National Chocolate Candy Day. So you're going to give us your favorite chocolate candy of all time. Again, 877-881-1053. But before we get to any of that, just to reset some of your headlines that have come across here in the last 24 hours, CeeDee Lamb shut down for the final two games of the season. You will not see him. We talked to Jerry Jones earlier this morning. If you missed that, 10:30, hit the rewind button on the Odyssey app. And he said that should the Cowboys have been in a playoff position, you would have seen him just getting rest rather than getting shut down. And he would have been out there for a playoff run. But that is not happening. So they shut him down to avoid further damage. Jerry did say that had it got injured further, it would need surgery.
Correct.
And right now, it doesn't need surgery. It just needs rest. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of rest, a little bit of rehab, and he is going to be A-OK, it sounds like. And then on top of that, on the hardwood, the Dallas Mavericks lost to Luka Doncic during the Christmas Day game against the Timberwolves. He had a calf strain, the same left calf that he had injured before, and he is going to miss at least a month. He will be reevaluated in 1 month.
Yep.
So it kind of brings back up that question that I had about the trade deadline, because what is here in just over a month? The NBA trade deadline.
Correct.
So
in
it's
February.
First week of February. I think February 6th is what I want to say. And a month from now puts you right at the end of January. I wonder if that changes Nico Harrison's thinking. Maybe we can dive into that here in a little bit. But for the Combo Platter, CA, do you want to start us off? Have the honor, or do you want me to start us off?
You start us off.
All right. Sports opinion. Man, I am probably more excited for the Texas Rangers season to start than I have been in a really long time, even after coming off of the World Series title, just because you didn't do too much thereafter, you know? After you won it in terms of personnel decisions, you didn't do too much. But now I feel like the way that Chris Young is able to identify issues before they come up and solve them with ease. And the reason I say that is most recently the Nathaniel Lowe situation. He's coming up for arbitration. He was set to make somewhere around $10 million this season, I believe, if I have my math right. And he says that's a guy that's going to need a long-term deal. He's a guy that's been very streaky as a hitter, but he's shown us silver slugger stuff. He's shown us really good defense as a gold glove recipient. But that's a lot of money for a team that's trying to get back under the luxury tax threshold. So how can I fix that? I can trade him for a bullpen piece that I'm a big fan of. A lot of people kind of knocked it just because people like to ERA watch and see that he has a 4-something ERA in 2023. They're like, oh, he sucks. Well, He played on one of the worst teams in baseball, so he didn't really get run support or anything. And he was a leverage guy, so he came into some sticky situations where inherited runners sometimes, obviously he doesn't get charged to his ERA, but that can mess with you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you give up soft contact and, you know, a run scores, then you have new property on base that's yours. And then if you give up a home run to the next guy, then your ERA is shooting up. So you look at the FIP with him. He's really, really good when you take his bad defense out from behind him. So you do that. Jake Berger is probably going to get the bulk of the work at first base. I love that move for many reasons, but the main one being we have a dude on the team named Berger, and I think that's awesome. So, which B-Dubs has a great burger here, too, if you didn't know. You should try it.
Buffalo Wild Wings got a burger?
Yeah, if you're not in the wings mood, if you're not in the chicken mood, try out the burger. That burger is awesome. Mike and Corey both swear by it.
Okay.
So that's something you need to check out. But we got a dude named Berger, and he's a power hitter, too. That's just perfect.
And I think his personality is supposed to be like low, so, you know.
Yes, and something that a lot of people don't know, his best friend is on the team, Dane Dunning.
Look out. There you go. Wait a minute. Dunning also took a pay cut, didn't he?
Yeah, there's some...
Some money that he could have gotten?
Yeah, there's some situations there where, you know, I could have easily seen him not being on the team this year either. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if he's committed to getting better, committed to being a bullpen piece, because he's probably not going to be a starter unless it's a spot start situation, mm-hmm. if he's okay with being that mid-range to long guy out of the bullpen, then sure, I think he's going to be okay. I think he's going to be useful for this team. But, for a while, it looked like Dane was going to be a lot more sought after and a lot higher compensated because he was on a really good run. Things kind of slowed down for him. Don't really know how to put a finger on it either. Just kind of like a steady decline. But the way that they make that move with Jake Berger, like, I'm really excited. I don't think they're done. I mean,
right.
Jared told us on Monday, he said, look, might not be until a little bit after Christmas, but they're not done. They really want Kirby Yates back, their closer from last year who made an all-star team.
And they're flirting, they're flirting with a certain Japanese pitcher, too.
Roki Sasaki, they met with like a week ago. They met in person, and Chris Young, you know, being the genius that he is with the media, said, I have no further comment. Going to respect his process.
Don't mess it up.
We don't know anything about what that presentation was like to Sasaki. Mm-hmm. Like, we have no clue. We just know that it happened. And they put their offer on the table of here's the vision, here's what we're trying to sell to you, come and join us and win another World Series. That would be awesome. But stuff like that, the fact that I think you actually have a chance at him is kind of crazy, because if you would have told me, what, maybe 4 years ago that the Rangers might be in line for the next, you know, what everybody's touting as the next great starting pitcher in baseball, I would tell you you're crazy.
But this is why you believe. Because see why I got DeGrom, and nobody saw that in picture either, did they? They did not see that coming.
That was one of the most fun nights working here because I was with the Get Right producing their show, and right when the open
Ridge
hits.
And KG.
Yep, right when the open hits, we get the news just out of nowhere. There was no whispers about it. There was nothing. You just get the notification from Jeff Passan, and it wasn't even like a sources say. The team just put out a PR statement. Guess what? We signed Jacob DeGrom.
Nobody knew. Saw that coming. Yep,
nobody knew. That was really
so fun. That's why you got to say, you know what? CY is always upgrading. He's always got stuff done. Don't ever think he's sitting on his laurels. He'll be working on Christmas Eve, so you got to like that.
And the best chocolate candy in the mind of Alec Medford. It's got to be – this is like super specific too because I could just go with the overarching brand.
Mm-hmm.
The holiday editions of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups – and I'm specifically talking about the ones that are shaped like bells.
Oh.
Those, I don't know what it is. The ratio is just perfect. It is amazing. I love it. I heard that, and I disagree strongly. I think the ratio is perfect. I think they're amazing. I hate that they're only around during the holiday season because that is just perfection in sugary form. And I'm not even like a sweets guy anymore. Everything I consume for the most part is sugar-free, the energy drinks, everything. Like, I try to stay away from that. But the holiday season is where I don't mind putting on a few extra pounds because the carbs are coming in the form of Reese's Bells. So there you have it. Combo platter, 877-881-1053. Give us a sports opinion and then your favorite chocolate candy for National Chocolate Candy Day. We will go to the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorney text line and see what we have there. The 945 says Hershey Kisses are elite. From the 832, sports opinion, Jerry Jones would rather be number one in jersey sales than win another Super Bowl. My favorite chocolate candy is chocolate-covered Oh, I think they're talking about the Whoppers. That's what they're saying.
Oh yeah,
the Whoppers. Those I haven't had those in forever. Those were those were a hit for Halloween when I was growing up because they always came in the variety bag. Mm-hmm. So it was like you inevitably got a bunch of them. So it was kind of like I just associate those with Halloween at this point, and I never really have them outside of that. So I don't disagree there. Let's see, your favorite chocolate candy and sports opinions. Keep those coming in, 877-881-1053. Easter Reese's from the 214 are better. From the 972, no sir, it's the Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. And from the 817, holy cow, Sasaki is 6'4", 203 pounds. Yeah, that's a big dude.
He's
that's
big
a big dude. All right, CA, it's your turn. Sports opinion and your favorite chocolate candy.
Here's a sports opinion. Since next week, the next round of the college football playoffs about to happen. I always love some college football. And there's a lot of people who are like, man, this thing, because the first round was just blowouts, man. They don't know what they're doing. Now, let me tell you something. They may have been blowouts, but the matchups that everybody thought were going to happen are going to happen New Year's Eve and on New Year's Day. And then you'll have the quote-unquote Final Four, the semifinals, which will be at the Cotton Bowl and at the Orange Bowl. And my opinion is this, because it was such a fun entire season. Remember the prognosticators were saying, oh, this is going to be the worst thing to happen in college football. Expanding the playoffs to 12 teams, it's just going to be the worst. It's going to devalue the games. It didn't. It made them more exciting and more important. You weren't automatically out of it if you lost one game. You weren't out of it automatically if you lost two games. I'm thinking that what's going to happen is you will see the conference championship games disappear. Ooh. And the reason why is because as schools and coaching staffs try to strategize what to do, they want to make sure that they're not hurt. Yep. Or they're going to make sure that what's in it for us if we go to the conference championship game and they might not pick us. What if it turns out that we lose in a certain way? What if we get blown out? And we were ahead. I kind of look at the Miami Hurricane this year. Like, you messed up yourself losing to Syracuse because you and SMU were both going to the playoff. They both were going.
Yeah.
And then they lose to Syracuse, and all of a sudden, it opened the door for Clemson. Clemson beats SMU on a, you know, the field goal to send in overtime. It was like, look, that's how Clemson got in. If Miami gotten in, maybe they had a closer game against Texas. With that being said, I think these conference championship games, because the attendance are low, it's almost like random bowl games, even though there's consequences, I think once they go to 16 games, 16 teams in this playoff, you will not see conference championships. Just watch what happens. The example I want to use is, a few years ago, TCU here in Fort Worth. A few years ago, TCU, not the year they went to the finals, went to the championship game, and they beat Michigan to get to Georgia. I'm talking about a few years before that. Big 12 did not have a playoff. Or they did not have a championship game. They did not have it. And in all, everybody said, you know what? If TCU had played in a championship game, they would have gotten in over Ohio State.
Sure.
Zeke's team. They would have gotten in. Maybe, maybe not. But that's when they said, we better institute it. Because way back then, Big 12, I thought foolish. She was like, we're not going to have a championship game because, you know, we don't want that champ, the better team to lose.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that's what the reality is going to be happening right now. Teams and schools are going to be strategizing. And so my combo platter is, I'm like you. I like chocolate and I like peanut butter. My favorite dessert is apple pie, but I don't eat that much desserts. But I absolutely love dark chocolate. And I don't want just Ghirardelli, you know, 90% cocoa.
Sure.
I want Justin's peanut butter cup.
Huh.
Look it up. Go to one of the Whole Foods stores.
Yep.
Justin's, because they got dark chocolate.
I'm familiar with your game.
Peanut butter. And it's actually good for you. The antioxidants are good for you. And I might have some blueberries with that, ironically, because dark chocolate and blueberries are delicious.
I do have a question about your sports opinion. When it comes to the expanded college football playoff format and the conference championships, I totally agree with you. Do you think that's purely an oversight by the NCAA, not expecting people to want to get out of that and maintain health? Or do you think they are prepared for that and a further expansion, they will kind of address that?
I knew they were going to have a further expansion, and I think it's kind of like you just got to work these things out to find out.
Yeah.
They did not know about the opening the door Pandora's box of strategy, and they did not know that the attendance would suffer, because if you think about it, college football games are hard to attend anyway. It's not like, you know what I'm saying, it's like how much money you got to go to these games. But the TV revenue, well, guess what? Those conference championship TV revenues, that's going to be made up with 16 teams as opposed to 12. That's for the TV money. You always got to follow the money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And college football, they have been no stranger to doing that. So over the past few years,
it's just taking them a long time. All that NCAA March Madness.
Yeah.
Man, that money was always there for college football because there's greater interest. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? They finally said, you know what, let's do this. And guess what they found out? This year's regular season didn't get hurt, and the big bowl games didn't get hurt. Smaller bowls are going to still do what they already do because the TV need content. And they'll just put those games on right now. Like right now, Oklahoma's playing Navy here in Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
And last I saw, you was winning. I think they're still winning. So the bottom line is everybody eats.
14-7 at half.
Everybody eats.
Everybody eats, and it's going to be fun to see how it looks 5 to 10 years from now when teams can actually catch up, you know, because if you were expecting that first round to be any more competitive than it was, then I think you were hoping for the wrong things. I didn't expect them to be relatively competitive. I did think like SMU's game, I thought that would be closer than it was.
You know what? I did some deep thoughts and deep dive and looking at all these different articles. I think why those games were all blowouts. Every single one was a blowout. All of them were double-digit wins. And here's the wild part about it. The favorite won those games, and people weren't thinking, you know, college football, you're talking about 18 to 25-year-old kids, and they get all emotional. And if you're playing in the biggest game on the road into an insane stadium, there are some people who foolishly think that momentum doesn't exist. College football,
Reggie,
proves you wrong. College football is pure emotion and roller coasters. It's kind of like Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Super Bowls used to be blowouts every year because the emotion was so high. Imagine these college kids going on the road to whatever, to this new 12-team playoff. First time there's ever a playoff game in a campus location as opposed to a bowl game. All those home teams had to be favored. And they were favored by double digits, and they all covered.
And to the people that, you know, try to compare it to some of the pro playoff formats and stuff, you hinted at it. Like, the Super Bowls used to be blowouts.
Yep.
I mean, even now, like, in the 21st century, the wild card round sometimes can be really ugly in the NFL.
Yeah.
But you still got 30 million people watching it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter. People don't care. They act like they climb up on this hill, and they scream from the rooftops that they want fair competition. They want parity. But when they know that it's a 17-point spread, they're still going to watch it every single time. And it just goes to your point that college football, it's always been there for them.
Always.
They were just a little bit late to the party. Just a little bit late. Like, I think there was – I was looking this up. Biggest blowouts in the wild card round. There was a New York Jets win over the Colts in the AFC wild card round back in 2003, I think. 41-0. Like, we've seen these before happen, and people still watch that. I guarantee you that the ratings were sky high because it's playoff football.
It's playoff
people
football.
Just want it. From the 469, Dak may or may not be a top 10 quarterback, but he still deserves better than the Cowboys. He has class. And the best chocolate candy, Ferrero Rocher. Very fancy.
Ah,
I love saying the name. I can't tell you how many times I've actually consumed it, but it's fun to say. It's definitely fun to say. From the 214, I think this might be my buddy Chandler over there in the burnt orange texting this in. Texas will win the Cotton Bowl and Mr. Goodbar.
And Mr. Goodbar is your favorite bar?
That's what the 214 says. Mm-hmm. So, from the 682.
Talking about the Cotton Bowl, like the playoffs, the semifinals, is that what you're talking about?
That's what they said, yeah.
Okay, so that means you're going to beat Oregon if Oregon gets by Ohio State, which I think they will.
I mean, as much as I hate to say, a purebred and raised TCU fan, it pains me to say there's no reason that Texas shouldn't at this point. And I pray on their downfall constantly. I really do. Just because of
a lot of schools.
You know, I
went to OU.
I was raised A&M. Around a lot of Texas fans.
You
I mean,
there's Texas right in front of
me. My favorite thing, and you can appreciate this, is, you know, growing up, my parents were big, like, PTA parents. And so they were involved with the teachers. And we had two gym coaches in elementary school. One of them Coach Phillips was a OU fan. And then the other one, Coach Smith, was a Texas fan. And for Christmas one year, each of them got me a jersey. I'm like 8 years old at best, if that, for their respective schools. Mm-hmm. So growing up, I had both an OU and a Texas jersey, but I was a TCU fan, so I never wore either.
That's true to your school?
Yep. So they were trying to convert me, but, you know, my grandma worked at TCU forever, so I was kind of forced into that lifestyle.
By the way, I've always said this. I don't wish terribleness on UT. I want them to win. Let me tell you why. I've said this a million times, though. I want Texas to be great. So when we beat y'all, it means something.
I can respect that.
Why? In other words, I don't want people to say, well, you should have beat them because they suck. Texas doesn't need to suck. I want them to be great so their heart would get broken.
And you know what else I respect? I just got a text from Lord Choppy, RJ Choppy. He texted me and said that he's going to be here in the 1 o'clock hour.
That'll work.
So we'll have RJ Choppy in the house.
From the RJ and Choppy show.
Oh, yes, from the RJ and Choppy show. And, you know, Crosstalk was great whenever him and Bobby actually took over it, you know, in place of Peyton. That was great. But we are live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth. Left Bank, 629 Staten Street. Come hang out with us here. We still got plenty of giveaways to do courtesy of Miller Lite. We got those $4 ice cold Coors and Miller Lights as well. I'm going to have to partake in that before I get out of here. But before any of that, it's time for another Hall of Fame edition of CA's Stories Confidential.
All right. I always thank all the Tolos. Thank you, Alec. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, everybody, Ruben, everybody, for allowing me to share some of these stories. The Mavericks are taking on the Suns in Phoenix tonight at 8 o'clock. No Luka. He's got that left calf. He's going to be out for about 30 days. Suns have beaten the Mavericks twice this year already. You know, in the playoffs, Booker versus Luka, that's always much-watched television. And it got me thinking about that game being on tonight. Got me thinking about something because somebody sent me a tweet, and it was showing that the Mavericks podcast, Studio 41, they put out a little snippet thing, and our buddy Skin Wade was narrating it, and he was talking about Michael Finley and how Michael
Friend of
Finley,
the show.
Yep, Michael Finley came to the Dallas Mavericks. This is a crazy story. Some people don't realize this, but Michael Finley and Jason Kidd were traded for each other. And some people don't realize this, but Michael Finley used to play for the Phoenix Suns. And some people may not even remember this. Jason Kidd used to play for the Phoenix Suns. Everybody, oh, yeah, New Jersey Nets, and oh, yeah, and the Mavericks. And he played for the Phoenix Suns. He was the Mavericks' first-round pick, part of the 3Js. And he got traded for Michael Finley, Sam Cassell, and A.C. Green. The crazy part about it was how this all transpired. And I had to announce the trade on television on Fox Sports Southwest. Nobody knew it. As soon as it came down, I had to announce it. So what had happened was this. Jason Kidd, part of the 3Js, the coach for the Mavericks at the time was Jim Clemens. Jim Clemens was trying to create an offense that Phil Jackson and Tex Winter was running called the triangle offense that nobody else in the league was doing besides the Chicago Bulls. Lakers did it when Phil went to the Lakers for a minute. It's a really different kind of an offense. And he was just adamant about this thing. And Jason Kidd's agent at the time was hinting that if Jim Clemens doesn't do something different, Jason might have to ask for a trade. We might have to ask for a trade. And at the time, the general manager was a guy named Frank Zaccanelli. Ross Perot had hired Frank Zaccanelli to be the GM, who really wasn't. He's a nice guy, but he wasn't an NBA guy. Didn't really know that much about it. And to stay ahead of what would have been a fire sale, out of nowhere, he traded away Jason Kidd. So the crazy part about it was Don Nelson came in, you know, right after that and replaced Frank Zaccanelli. And Nelly said, I would have never traded Jason Kidd. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. I'm coaching the Golden State Warriors, you know, in the 1990s. Jason Kidd, we used to have him come in and do high school. He's in high school. He would have him work out with us. Jason Kidd's got a high basketball IQ. He's a genius. I'd have never done it. So here's what happened. Mavericks are playing at Reunion Arena. I'm working for Fox Sports Southwest. Ironically, Mavs TV is now, you know, went from Fox Sports Southwest to Bally's to just now it's whatever it is, and the Mavericks went on their own to Mavs TV. Skin Wade is doing what I used to do. I was the first ever Mavericks courtside analyst. And so during this, it was the day after Christmas in 1996. It's like almost 28 years ago. Everybody's doing what they normally do. Jason Kidd's not playing in that particular game because he had had a minor fender bender. And they said, Jason, just take this game off. Team that's not that good. So he's sitting on the end of the bench. He had no idea he was traded either. Kevin Sullivan, the PR director at the time, he tapped me on my shoulder in the second period, or maybe it was third period. It was third period because Jason didn't come out of the locker room when the team came out for the second half. He said, Chris, you see this piece of paper? Need you to read this. And I'm reading it. It said, the Mavericks have traded away Jason Kidd. I'm like, what? And me and Jason are like tight friends. I'm like, what? Because I knew he did not know he was going to be traded. And he said, where do you want me to do this? He said, stand behind the PA announcer, Kevin McCarthy, and just announce it on TV. That's how the word came out. There was no internet back then. It wasn't like, there was a hint that he... No. It was like, what? And Sam Cassell and A.C. Green were famous NBA players, but they kind of passed their prime. Michael Finley was young. Nobody knew what he could do. So that day, I announced it, or that night, and as soon as I announced it, all the beat writers, all the media that's covering that game in the building, they still running back into the locker room area. And then Jason Kidd, he didn't even have a press conference or nothing. It was like, he's walking and talking, trying to get to his car. He had, he was in shock. And, I talked to him a little bit about it later. And then when Michael Finley comes to town, and by the way, Jason has a nice, run with the Phoenix Suns. They trade him to New Jersey Nets. And he takes them to the NBA Finals. And Shaq even said one of those years, it should have been Jason Kidd, the MVP of the year this year. So here's the irony of it all. Michael Finley, as you know by now, still works for the Dallas Mavericks. He won a championship. He took a hit for the team when they found out it was a salary cap situation. If Michael were to sign somewhere, or they just let him be released, it would save the Mavericks some money, give them cap space or whatever. So he signed. Everybody thought he was going to sign with Miami. He signed with the Spurs. They won a ring. Once he was retired, he comes back to work in the Mavericks front office, where he still is working with Nico Harrison and the guys who have done a fantastic job. And, of course, working with Jason Kidd. So him and Jason Kidd are still great friends to this day. Both of those guys are really good friends of mine. But here's a small irony. Before Jason Kidd came back to be the Mavericks head coach, he had gotten fired by the Milwaukee Bucks as the head coach. And he was on a tour of visiting with head coaches to pick their brains on how to be a better head coach. He talked to Rick Carlisle. He was talking to Popovich. He was just that particular season. He was saying, I'm just not going to coach. I'm going to figure out what I need to do to be better. The crazy thing about it, he got traded in the middle of a game. Years later, Harrison Barnes famously got traded in the middle of a game, in the middle of a Maverick. He's playing with Luka. They knew they weren't going to be able to max him out in the summer. And people found out about it in the middle of the game that he got traded to Sacramento. And it was like, oh my God, look at Harrison Barnes. The Mavericks traded him in the middle of a game. This is unheard of. And I'm thinking, no, this is not unheard of. I had to announce Jason Kidd getting traded for Michael Finley about 15 years earlier. And so all the camera shots kept showing Harrison Barnes sitting on the bench. And I'm like, he doesn't even know he's traded. Here's the behind the scenes on that. Harrison Barnes was told before the game, we're not going to be able to max you out. We want to try to get a roster that's more Luka-friendly. And they loved Harrison Barnes, did everything in the community, great guy, great leader. So they said, out of these teams, where would you like to go? Donnie Nelson said, pick a team. Harrison Barnes picked the Sacramento Kings. And they said, you don't have to play, even though it's a game now, He said, no. I want to play one last time in a Maverick uniform. And so Harrison Barnes knew he was traded. But, people watching it on the internet, he didn't even know. That's cruel. Here's where it gets wild. After the game, he's run off the court. Crowds cheering for him, getting him standing up because they know he's traded. He was never announced in the building, but everybody knew. He takes his jersey off and he gives it to me. He said, Chris, you can have my jersey. I said, thank you. I go out into the tunnel area where the locker rooms are. Jason Kidd is there. And the first thing Jason says to me, I said, this has been a crazy game. He goes, yeah, but we've been through this before, haven't we, man? I said, yes. So Jason Kidd was in the building at the American Airlines Center when Harrison Barnes also got traded in the middle of a game. There's some irony there. And again, the better irony is the Dallas Mavericks have Michael Finley and Jason Kidd on the same team as a front office assistant general manager. I don't know exactly Finn's title right now, but he's basically right there with Nico, hand in hand with AB. And I mean, they're just getting it done. And then Jason Kidd's your head coach. And they went to the finals together. So there you go.
I still think one of my finest radio moments was when you, me, and Blake had Finn on a weekend to promote his charity event. And we got something out of him that went nuclear on NBA Twitter.
It went viral all over social media.
The whole story about Grant Williams poking Luka at practice, and he proceeds to go on like a 20-something to nothing run by himself.
Barbecued him. He cooked him.
That was the funniest thing.
That was just part of the second part that Finn had on, we talked about. The very next day, he did it again with Kyrie, and Kyrie roasted him too.
Mm-hmm. Don't poke the bear.
Don't poke the bear.
Not poke the bear. I loved his setup too. He was like, there was a certain player, Grant Williams that, because it was right after the Mavericks had just traded him. So he's like, I'm probably out of the statute of limitations. Yeah, so, you know, may as well go and throw it out there. So there you go. That is the Expressway presented by the On Time Experts right here on 105.3 The Fan. But we are live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth. Left Bank, 629 Staten Street. We want to see you here. We got more Cowboys giveaways to give to you, courtesy of Miller Lite. We'll do that here in the following breaks. But coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it is time for AM on the FM. Not used to that. We got the question of the day, plus maybe Earl Thomas needed a little bit of grace. We'll talk about that next here on the KNC Masterpiece.